Good morning, good morning, Shabbos. It's been a while. We're going to continue our discussion about Olam Haba today. Last shiur we did the Ramban, and today we're going to do the Rambam. In the Ramban, just to very briefly review, the Ramban's Mahalech is that Olam Haba exists after Tchiyas HaMeisim, and that there is a physical body in Olam Haba. We generally, the way the Ramchal puts this idea, he develops it, is ki pirud hamisa eno ela davar lefi sha'a tchiyas hamesim. While it's true that when a person dies, their soul and their body separate, and their body is buried, and their soul exists in the Olam HaNeshamos, that is a pirud lefi sha'a, meaning to say it's a temporary separation. A person is really comprised of their body and their soul. It's not the pshat, perhaps as the Rambam maintains, we'll see shortly, that a person, who is he? He is his soul, and just for a short period of time, the soul is connected to the body. Rather, the contrary. The person is the body plus the soul combined. It's reminiscent of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadi Aleph, regarding the conversation between Antoninus and Rabbi Akiva in terms of why a person is punished. So, achar kach tzricha lashuv leguf v'shneim yiskaimu yachad lenetzach netzachim. So after the short period of separation upon death, the body and the soul are restored and continue eternally. Meaning to say that the basic yesod in the Ramban's Mahalech is that there is not a inherent contradiction between the body and the soul, between the guf and the neshama. Hence, originally there was no chshash that Adam, Harishon, would eat from the Eitz HaChayim before he ate from the Eitz HaDas Tov V'Ra. The stira between the guf and neshama and the neshama took place when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz HaDas Tov V'Ra, and Memela, subsequent to that, it was necessary that they not be allowed to eat from the Eitz HaChayim. Rather, as the Gemara says in Brachos, Ma, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Memale Kol HaOlam, Af HaNeshama is Memale Kol HaGuf. What does that mean? That means that just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world, so too the Neshama could fill the Guf, meaning to say there need not be an inherent stira between the Neshama and the Guf. That's why we saw, for example, the Rambam writes that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was unique. Moshe Rabbeinu, due to his Madrega, was able to experience prophecy while being awake, while maintaining his senses, without convulsions and shaking and the like. The Rambam writes that in when he describes the differences between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and Shaar Nevi'im. What does that mean? The idea is that all other Nevi'im were at such a level that there was a stira between their neshama and their guf. So they couldn't experience prophecy while being awake. When they did experience prophecy, there was a stira, so there were convulsions and shaking and the like. Masha'en kein, Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu was different. Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu was, because Moshe reached a madrega where there was no stira between the guf and the neshama, so memela he could experience it while being awake, without those types of convulsions. Likewise, we saw earlier the Ramban wrote about four different levels, and the highest level, this is the Ramban in Achmemos, Yud Ches, he writes, Ba'ozvim kol inyane olam hazeh, ve'enam mashgichim alav, ki'ilu enam balei haguf, v'chol machshevasam v'kavanasam bivoram bilvad, ki'inyan Eliyahu. If someone totally focuses while on this world exclusively upon their creator, so then upon death there's no reason that the body and the soul have to separate, because there's no longer a contradiction between the body and the soul, and thus Eliyahu went to Shamayim with the body and the soul connected. So this is all reflective of this Yesod, the idea of the Ramban, namely that there need not be a stira between the guf and the neshama. So with this, we could turn to the position of the Rambam, and we're going to begin with the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Ches Halacha Aleph. It's in your source books. Hatova hatzifuna letzadikim hichai haolam haba, v'yachayim she'en maves imahen, V'atova she'eni mara, hu shekasa b'tar l'man yitavlach, v'arachta yamim. So of course the goodness that is hidden away for the tzaddikim is chaylam haba, which is eternal existence, good with no bad. And he continues, v'zehu olam haba schar tzaddikim hu sheyizku l'noam zu, v'yu b'tova zu, u'pirona rishayim hu shelo yizku l'chayim elu, ela yikarsu v'yamusu. Okay, here the Rambam alludes to a very interesting thing. He says that the ultimate reward is, of course, olam haba. And what is the ultimate punishment? The ultimate punishment is lack of olam haba, meaning to say that someone who gets kares, the Rambam writes here, is someone who lacks olam haba. Worse, perhaps, than any punishment of Gehenim is the punishment of simply ceasing to exist, namely when the person dies. It's not just that their body ceases to live, but their soul ceases to exist. That's what kares means, and that is the ultimate punishment. So this, for example, contrasts the view of the Ramban, which we saw earlier. The Ramban earlier, in Perk Yod Ches, in Vayikra, Pasuk Chaf Tes, explains that there were three types of kares, right? The first part of kares, the first type of kares is when the Pasuk says, V'nichras ha'ish ha'hu, and it refers to his lifespan. The second type of kares is when the pasuk says v'nichrisu ha'nefashos ha'osos, or v'nichrisu ha'nefesh ahi. The second type of kares is upon the nefesh. And the third type of kares, the absolute worst, is when the pasuk says hikares tikares ha'nefesh ahi avonaba. Now that type of kares is exclusively for rejection of God, for avodah zarah. And the Gemara darshins, hikares be'olam hazeh, tikares li'olam haba, which means shelotichya nafsho b'tchias ha'meisim ve'en lo chelok li'olam haba. So the Gemara says that the worst type of kares is hikares in olam hazeh, tikares in olam haba. So what does that mean? You don't get olam haba, meaning to say you don't experience the tchia. That doesn't mean to say that your soul doesn't exist after you die, but you don't experience tchias ha'meisim. That's the view of the Ramban. The Rambam obviously could not accept that conception because he doesn't understand that Olam Haba is connected to Tchias HaMeisim. The Rambam over here seems to imply that Kares is simply, as we said, that you don't get Olam Haba, meaning to say you cease to exist upon death. Now, it's hard to imagine that the Rambam himself wouldn't concede that there are various levels of Kares. It's hard to imagine that the same thing happens for eating Chelev and for Avodah Zarah or the like, and we'll see later the Rambam alludes to such distinctions. It's also, if you simply read the Rambam here in Hilchos Tshuvo, Perek Ches, you might get the impression that there's no such thing as Gehenim, because he just says that if you are Zocha to Olam Haba, then you get Olam Haba, and if not, so then you simply cease to exist. What role is there for punishment after death of the soul? However, numerous, and there were those, maybe we'll have a chance to talk about it, maybe not, I'm not sure. There were those who actually claimed that the Rambam denied the concept of Gehenim, especially based on a passage in the Parashah Mishnayos. However, there are a number of Raios that he did indeed accept the concept of Gehenim, and again, if we have time, we'll explain how the Rambam understood what that means. In Halacha Beis, he writes, Ha'olam haba ein bo guf u'gvia, Ela nefashos hatzadikim bilvad below guf kimalachi ashari. So the Rambam maintains that in Olam Haba there is no physical body, rather it's simply the existence of the soul. As we mentioned before, the Rambam here does seem to contradict the simple understanding of Chazal, as well as many of the Rishonim. The Rambam is not an absolute Das Yachid here. Ibn Gabirol, who lived from 1021 to 1058, so beforehand, also takes this approach. But it's not the mainstream position. And he writes, Ha'ol v'ein bo gvios, ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia v'lo davar mikol hadvarim shegufim b'nei adam srichen lahen b'olam haba. Right? There's no achila and shtia and the like. And he therefore, and he bases his position on the Gemara we saw earlier, that says that in Olam Haba there's no achila, there's no shtia, there's no tashma shamita, rather, Tzadikim yoshen v'atrosem b'roshem v'nenem miziv hashchina. So what does that mean? So the Rambam writes that if there's no achila and shtia in Olam Haba, what need would there be for a body? So therefore, there must be no body. What then does it mean, Tzadikim Yoshvin Vatrosem Biroshehem? V'zeu she'amru, Tzadikim Yoshvin Derechida Amru. Yeshiva is not literal. If you have no body, obviously yeshiva is not possible. It's meant metaphorically. Kilomar, HaTzadikim Mitzuyin Sham Belo Amol V'lo Yagia. Yeshiva is a metaphor for existence without any pain or difficulty. So what does it mean they have their crowns on their head? Again, that can't be literal. You don't have a head. Rather, what does that mean? Kilomar, das sheyedu shebiglala zachu l'chaye ha'olam haba mitzuya aleihen. The knowledge which they acquired, through which they merited olam haba, exists with them. Now here the Rambam seems to be telling us a very important yesod, and a very controversial yesod, one which we will elaborate upon. The Rambam here, as well as elsewhere, implies that Olam Haba is the natural result of the acquired intellect. Meaning to say, as he says, the Deya Sheyedu Shebiglalash Zachul Chaim Haba, the knowledge which they acquired, through which they were Zocha to Olam Haba, that is the meaning of the metaphor of the crown on their head. Why does the Gemara say a crown on their heads? Why their heads? Their heads refers to the knowledge that they acquired. And it's that knowledge that exists with them eternally. Meaning to say, the knowledge, the acquired intellect, that a person gains from their experiences on this world, that is what remains with them eternally. And that is the Olam Haba. V'hi ha'atara shelahen, kinyan she'amar, Shlomo be'atara she'atra li'imo, etc., etc. Now here, the Ravid raises a number of objections, principally based off of the ideas we saw earlier, and maybe again, if we have a chance later, we'll return to the Ravid's position. In Halacha Gimel, he seems to echo this same idea. He writes, Kol nefesh amura b'inyan zeh, eino ha'neshama ha'tzricha l'guf, this nefesh that we're referring to that exists in Olam Haba is the tsuras hanefesh, which is what? The knowledge which they understood about God to the extent of their ability. Meaning to say, while we're on this world, we're able to study Torah and wisdom and the like, and through our study of Torah and wisdom, we apprehend and understand and obtain a conception of God, and that conception of God is what remains with us. Right? Again, shehi adeya shesiga meabore kafikocha vesiga hadeos hanefrados veshar hamasim. But he does mention maasim here as well. So the Rambam already alludes to the fact that it's not just knowledge. He mentions maasim as well, and we're going to have to figure out how these relate to each other, and we'll get to that shortly. V'hi hatzura shebi'arnu inyana beperek revi'i mehilchos yisodei haTorah hi anikres nefesh b'inyan hazeh. Okay, now this question, this issue, this seemingly very problematic notion that Olam Haba is simply based on the acquired intellect is a major issue with the Rambam, and one which we will turn to and address after we've finished reading through the passages. It's very problematic if you explain it at face value. The Gemara, for example, in Sanhedrin, writes that a child gets Olam Haba. And there's a dispute in the Gemara exactly at what age. Is it when the child first says Amen, or is it when the child gets the Bris Milah? Halachically, by the way, those different opinions make it into the Shulchan Aruch. That's why the Rama says you should teach your children to say Amen, so that they'll, even if they die, they'll be Bnei Olam Haba. And the Mechaber writes you should give a Bris Milah even to a stillborn. So, but the Gemara clearly, whatever opinion you take, and again, maybe if we have time, we'll try to explain the meanings of the different opinions. The Gemara says that children get Olam Haba. Now, if you're going to see Olam Haba as entirely the result of the acquired intellect, then it makes no sense that a child would get Olam Haba. Moreover, the very notion that Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Cholok Olam Haba seems to be against this. Everybody has Olam Haba, at least every Yisrael. And the idea of that Gemara is that even a child gets Olam Haba because a child is Bechlal Yisrael. So again, What the Rambam means here, we'll have to return to. The Rambam continues in Perek Ches of Hilchos Tshuva, and he writes, don't think of this idea of an entirely spiritual existence, don't treat it lightly, it's no small thing. And in Halacha Ches, he reiterates the position, here the Rambam explicitly addresses the opposing position, and he says, don't think that Olam Haba means something that doesn't exist now, meaning to say our world will be destroyed, then recreated, and that new really recreated world will be Olam Haba, namely the position of all the other Rishonim that we've seen thus far. Eina davar kein, ela hareu matsui ve'omeid shenemar asher tzafante l'reyacha pa'alta v'gomer v'lo kara'uhu olam haba. Why then did they call it olam haba, which it implies that it doesn't exist now? Ela mepnei she'osan achayim bayin lo la'adam achar chayi olam hazeh. Just means that a person enters that realm after their life on this world. Shanu kayamim bo guf v'nefesh v'zeh hanimtza l'chal adam b'rishona. It's first. And here again, the Ravid objects. He says, what do you mean? It sounds like the Rambam disagrees with what Chazal say, that the entire olam, the world will be destroyed and recreated, right? Doesn't the Gemara say, shisa alfei shanin havei alma v'chad charav? So how does the Rambam deal with that? And again, if we have time, we'll see the Rambam explicitly does address that question. In Mor Nevuchim, he tells us what he thinks of that Gemara. In Perek Tes of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam asks an obvious question. If the true makom of schar is olam haba, why is it that the Torah always focuses on physical rewards and punishments? If you do that which is right, then there'll be prosperity, peace, bountiful crops, rain. If you do that which is wrong, then there will be famine and sword and drought. Why does the Torah focus on seemingly physical rewards and punishments? And the Rambam tells us that these are not actually the rewards and punishments that the Torah is conveying. Rewards and punishment is the spiritual reward and punishment of Olam Haba, as he said before. What do the psukim mean in Parshas Bechukosai and Kisavo? The psukim mean to tell us that if a person does, or at least the community, the collective, does that which they're supposed to do, and they follow Torah and mitzvos, then they'll be given the opportunity to do more Torah and mitzvos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them peace and prosperity, and in existence of peace and prosperity, you have the opportunity to study Torah and Chachma, philosophy and the like, and thereby gain Olam Haba. In other words, if you live in a peaceful existence, you'll be able to do that which is necessary in order to merit Olam Haba. And conversely, if the community does not take advantage of the gifts, the peace, the prosperity, rather they reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah, so then those opportunities will be taken away. They will live a life of persecution, and memela, they won't be able to have the time to study Torah and Chachma and do mitzvos and thereby acquire Olam Haba. So this is the idea of schar mitzvah mitzvah, the idea that the punishments and the rewards, the physical rewards and punishments mentioned in the Torah, are simply opportunities. You do what's right, you'll have more opportunities to do what's right. You don't take advantage of those opportunities, then those opportunities will be taken away. Here again, the Rambam alludes to the point that he said before, that how does one get Olam Haba? Through primarily the study of Chachma and Torah. And Memela, for that, you need an environment which allows for that. And the Rambam continues, and the Rambam writes in Halacha Beis, "Umipnei zeh nis'avu kol Yisrael nevi'ehem v'chachamehem liyemos HaMashiach." This is why the Jewish people throughout history have longed for the Messianic era. What's so great about Mashiach? It's, after all, part of Olam Hazeh. And don't tell me it's because of miracles and the like, because as the Rambam writes later, there are going to be no miracles. Ein bein olam azel imos ha-mashiach el-ashibon malchi el-spilvad. So what then is the reason why the Chachamim and the Nevi'im have longed for Yemos HaMashiach? Because Yemos HaMashiach will be precisely this, a time of peace and prosperity, which will allow us the opportunity to study Torah and Chachman, thereby earn Olam Haba. In other words, Yemos HaMashiach is a Echatimtza to Olam Haba. He writes this explicitly, Kedesh Yanuchu Mimalchios She'enan Menichos Lahen Lasok B'Torah V'Mitzvos Kehogan V'Yimtzu Lahem Mergua V'Yirbu B'Chachma Kidei She'yizku L'Chaye Olam Haba. Mashiach is great because it gives us this opportunity. Now, with this, we can answer a question that the Rishonim posed against the Rambam. The Rambam, of course, as we said, separates Tchias HaMesim from Olam Haba. Tchias HaMesim, of course, the Rambam accepts. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikari Amunah, though he does not refer to it explicitly in Mishneh Torah. It's certainly something that he believes in. And, however, as you all know, he was accused during his lifetime of denying Tchias HaMesim. Why would anyone ever accuse the Rambam of denying Tchias HaMesim? The reason is because it doesn't seem to serve any purpose according to his conception. After all, if Olam Haba is an entirely spiritual existence, what value is there of Tchias HaMesim? Just imagine, a person, a tzaddik, goes to Olam Haba after he dies. He's experiencing this idyllic spiritual condition, which is incomparable to anything we could even imagine. And then they pluck him out of Olam Haba, send him back to this world for Tchias HaMesim. What does that? That's Gehenim, right? What is the purpose of Tchias HaMesim for the Rambam? And the Rambam writes, it's a miracle, it will happen once, people will live perhaps longer than normally, and then they will die again. So, what is the purpose? For the other Rishonim, we certainly understand why Tchias HaMesim is necessary and important and fundamental, but for the Rambam, it doesn't seem to make much sense. And hence, there were those who claimed that he denied it, and the Rambam, in his own defense, wrote Igeres Tchias HaMesim, in which he reaffirmed his belief. But we still have to ask the question, what is the purpose of Tchias HaMesim? The answer is exactly as we've said. Just as the purpose, and already the Ramban alludes to this, to answer the kasha from the Rambam, just as the purpose of Yemos HaMashiach is the opportunity to experience peace and prosperity in this world so as to have a chance to acquire knowledge, Torah, Chachma, Mitzvos, and thereby earn Olam Haba. So just imagine Nebuch, all the people throughout our history who were righteous people, who were persecuted their whole life, and not given that opportunity to study Torah and Chachma and do Mitzvos to the extent that they wished. Right? Even the Rambam, see how much he accomplished, but you know, he himself spent much of his life running away from persecutors, and later in life he was so busy with other needs that he didn't have that opportunity to do what he would have wished. So Tchias HaMesim allows a person to come back to life, presumably during Yemos HaMashiach, and experience life again, do Torah and Mitzvos, and thereby have a opportunity to get the Olam Haba that's really coming to them. It's a second chance. And that's why it's so fundamental. And that's why it sort of evens out the playing field. Right? Here you have one person who lived 20 years, and another person who lived 80 years. The person who lived 20 years didn't have so much of an opportunity. One person lived in a period of persecution, one person didn't. The idea of Tchias HaMesim is it gives another chance, like Yemos HaMashiach, for everybody. All the people that lived and didn't get to experience Yemos HaMashiach have a chance to come back and experience it. Yes, Sammy. Yes and no. So it's true. And the truth of the matter is that Mahalich works very well for the Rambam, because the Rambam doesn't stress the Maisa per se, but rather how it affected a person. But nevertheless, certainly when it comes to Chachma, the Rambam seems to imply that it's not wanting to learn Chachma is not the same thing as actually learning Chachma, because as we saw, the Rambam says that Olam Haba is the Atara Shibiroshehen is the Chachma that they acquired. So this gives them that chance. But well, I'd like to actually get back to that point, I hope. In Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva, we already saw it, the Rambam writes that one's motivation should not be to get Olam Haba, rather Osesa Emes Mipnei Shehu Emes, and he talks here very beautifully about Avas Hashem, Ayin Shem, you could do it on your own. In Hilchos Malachim Perek Yud Aleph, the Rambam deals with Yemos HaMashiach. The Rambam writes, yes.
And then he comes out of Olam Haba and
Right.
And then eventually probably go back.
Correct. Yes.
Just to follow up on that, is there Gan Eden?
The Rambam doesn't. Rambam says that Gan Eden is a metaphor for Olam Haba. It's not a separate existence. As Rambam writes, there are many things that the many metaphors that Chachamim use to refer to Olam Haba, and one of them is Gan Eden or Yeshiva Shel Mala or the like, as opposed to the other conception where there are two separate things. Yes.
Doesn't the Gemara say that Tzadikim and Tamidei Chachamim, even in Olam Haba, they go Mechayel and Chayel, they keep growing?
Yeah, we'll see. So, we'll see how the Rambam deals with that. Be'ezus Hashem, we're just at the beginning. I don't know if we'll get to the end, but we're definitely just at the beginning. In Hilchos Malachim Perek Yud Aleph, the Rambam writes about Mashiach. He writes an important thing. He writes, "V'chol mi she'eino mamin bo, o mi she'eino mechakel leviaso." A person is a kofar, not just if they deny the concept of Yemos HaMashiach, but if they don't long for it. He echoes this idea in the Yud Gimel Yikarim, a very important notion. In other words, it's not just enough to believe, as opposed to the other Yud Gimel Yikari Amunah, where he simply formulates it in terms of belief. Here, if a person believed in Yemos HaMashiach, but they didn't long for Yemos HaMashiach, then that too would make them a kofar. And I think that's true on many levels. One is in light of what he said before with respect to the purpose of Yemos HaMashiach, but also with respect to the more global idea of Yemos HaMashiach. Namely, Yemos HaMashiach is a time where there'll be universal recognition of God. Kablu kulam esol malchus shamayim. And it's a time where there will no longer be the suffering and persecution of those who are righteous and innocent. And therefore, for someone not to long for such an existence, someone who, let's say, was comfortable in the here and now, and therefore said, Mashiach, I believe in it, but I can't say that I long for it. So that reflects a tremendous lack of perspective. So much so that such a person is a kofar. The Rambam here notes as well, very importantly, that denying Mashiach is not just denial of the prophet. Sometimes people think, oh, Mashiach, where is Mashiach discussed? It's discussed in Sefer Yeshayahu and in the Nevi'im Achronim and the like. No, the Yemos HaMashiach are described explicitly in Torah, in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, on numerous occasions, most explicitly in Dvarim Perek Lamed, where it talks about Veshav Hashem Elokecha Shfuscha Verichamecha Veshav Vekibetzcha Mikol Amim Im Yanidcha Chabtzi Hashemayim Misham Yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha, etc., etc. Those prophecies are describing Yemos HaMashiach, that we will be ingathered from the exiles and are brought to Eretz Yisrael and restored to our glory. So the Rambam here brings numerous psukim that discuss Yemos HaMashiach. The Rambam in Halacha Gimel, as we mentioned, says Al Yale Al Datcha Shemelach HaMashiach Tzarch Lasos Osos Umosim Umachadish Dvarim Ba'olam O Mechaimesim Ukiyotzi B'dvarim Elu Eina Davar Kach Sharei Rabbi Akiva Chacham Gadol Mechach Mimishna Haya Vehu Haya Nosei Kelev Shel Ben Koziva HaMelech Vehu Haya Omer Alav Shehu HaMelech HaMashiach. The Rambam proves that miracles are not necessarily associated with Yemos HaMashiach, from the fact that Rabbi Akiva believed that Bar Kochva was the Mashiach. And Bar Kochva did not perform any supernatural acts, at least Anisim Giluyim, and yet Rabbi Akiva thought he was the Mashiach. And therefore, at least until he died. The Rambam says when he died, he realized he wasn't a Mashiach, but the fact that he believed while he was alive that he was going to be the Mashiach indicates clearly that the Mashiach does not need to perform miracles. Here too the Ravid argues, and again, if we have a chance, we'll go back to the Ravid Shita. So how do you know if someone is Mashiach? In Halacha Dalet, he writes, Vim Yamod Melach Mashiach mi Beis David Hoga B'Torah V'Osek B'Mitzvah Oska David Aviv. So if someone from a descendant of David HaMelech, who is a Talmud Chacham and a Tzaddik, and then V'Yakov Kol Yisrael Leilech Ba Ulchazek Badka V'Lilachem Milchamas Hashem, this Tzaddik goes ahead and strengthens Klal Yisrael and fights the wars of God. Hareza Bechezka Shu Mashiach. So if he does those three things, he's Bechezkas Mashiach, meaning to say presumed Mashiach. Not certain Mashiach, not Vade Mashiach, but presumed Mashiach. This is what Rabbi Akiva saw in Bar Kochva, apparently. Im Asav Itzliach V'Natzach Kol HaUmo Shesivivav Uvana Mikdash B'Mekomo V'Kibetz Nidchei Yisrael. So then Hareza Mashiach Bevada. If he did those things and then, in addition, was successful in all his military campaigns, builds the Beis HaMikdash and his Mekabetz Nidchei Yisrael, so then he's Vadei Mashiach. In other words, there's two stages. Someone who is from Malchus Beis David, a Tzadik, a Talmud Chacham, who brings Kal Yisrael to Torah and Mitzvos and is Lochei Milchamos Hashem, is Bechezkas Mashiach, presumed Mashiach, and then if he builds the Beis HaMikdash, is Mekabetz Nidchei Yisrael, etc., is Vadei Mashiach. Then the Rambam, at least in the uncensored texts, talks a little bit about... Oh, then the Rambam writes, but if he dies, so then you know he's not Mashiach, right? V'im lo yitzliach ad ko, even if he was Bechezkas Mashiach, o narag, biyadua she'eno ze shivticha alav atar, then it will be clear that he's not the Melech HaMashiach. Rather, what is he? He's a great person. He's from the Malchei Beis David HaShleimim V'Aksherim, but not the Mashiach. Then the Rambam talks, as I said, in the uncensored editions, a little bit about Yeshua Notzri. He writes about how his existence is already prophesied and predicted in the book of Daniel, in Perek Yud Aleph, Uvnei Pritzei Amcha Yinasu Lahamid Chazon V'Nichshalu. That's referring to Yeshu, who claimed to be a prophet and, of course, stumbled. And then he writes, how could anybody even imagine that Yeshu is the Mashiach? After all, the Mashiach is someone that's going to bring priests, bring peace, and bring people to Torah and Mitzvos, and this person caused more wars than anybody else and brought us away from Mashiach, etc., etc. But then he says, very famously, that the truth of the matter is Yeshu, as well as Muhammad, did do some value in terms of bringing the world closer to Mashiach. Ketzad, Kvar nismale ha'olam kulo medivrei ha'Mashiach medivrei ha'Torah medivrei ha'Mitzvos. Yeshu and Muhammad and the like brought us closer to Mashiach in the sense that they filled the world with the concept of Mashiach. Now everybody knows what Mashiach is, even though they make a mistake about who the Mashiach was, and teach them about Torah and Mitzvos, at least to some degree, spread the notion of monotheism and the like, and thereby prepare the world for Yemos HaMashiach. In Halach Perek Yud Beis, again, he stresses that there's not going to be a change in the course of nature. What then does the prophet mean with the predictions that the wolf will dwell with the lamb? These things refer to peace and prosperity, just like the wolf and the lamb, which are currently enemies. When put together, they fight each other and attack each other. But B'Yemos HaMashiach, the people who have thus far been enemies, will live together peacefully. The Rambam then alludes to other ideas. He writes that some of Chazal talk about Eliyahu coming before Mashiach. They also refer to the Milchemes Gog U'Magog and the like. And he says that we don't really know about these types of things. We don't know what they refer to. We're not sure about who Milchemes Gog U'Magog are and what they will be and how they will come. Again, Perhaps if we have time, we'll go through some of these ideas of what's Eliyahu's role, what's Mashiach ben Yosef, what's Milchemes Gog u'Magog. But the Rambam says that we don't really know much about this. We shouldn't try to predict the coming of the Mashiach. Chazal tell us that Tafach Rucham shel Mechash ve'akitzim. Rather, we shouldn't try to predict what's going to happen. Ela yachake v'yamin v'chlal hadavar kamo shebiyarnu. You shall wait and believe in the general concept, but not worry about the details. So, very briefly, and again, we've just pointed out some of the highlights. You should read it yourself, but this is the basic concept, the Rambam's concept of Mashiach and Olam Haba. So now I'd like to go back to three particular problems that arise from the position of the Rambam and address each one. The first is the Rambam's focus on intellectual achievements. The second is the notion that the Rambam seems to say in a number of places that if a person could only get Olam Haba if they believe in the Ikari Amuna, this is of course a related point, if they don't, and seemingly even if it's not their fault, they don't get Olam Haba, that's the second issue we're going to study and question. And the third is, if we have time, the Rambam's conception of Gehenim. So first, let's talk about the Rambam's focus on intellectual achievements. And this is seemingly very, very, very striking and problematic. As we mentioned, the Rambam writes that what is Olam Haba? Kilomar, da sheyedu shebiglala zachu l'chayei ha'olam haba mitsuya imahen. The atara shebaroshayan is the knowledge that they acquired. And he writes later that the atara she'amru chachamim kan hi hayedia. And he writes that what is this? Sheyodinu masigin me'amitas HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'she'inim yodim ve'im guf ha'eifel v'ashafel. Okay, so let's try to understand this. The first place I think we should look to have a better understanding of this is the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, Perek Nun Dalid, which is at the very, very end. And here the Rambam, just like in the Mishneh Torah, he ends off with the Divrei Drush. So too he ends off the Mor Nevuchim a little bit with a shtickle drush. But it really is something in which he sums up, I believe, much of the theory in the book. Like all things in the Rambam, there's debate. You know, those who say what they say will say he contradicts what he says earlier, and this is just not something that he really feels. Of course, we don't take that approach. And really what the Rambam writes here is consistent with what he said throughout. So the Rambam writes, first of all, ולפי זה הביור יהיה החכם בכל התורה על אמיתסה נקרא חכם משני פנים. מצד מה שכללה התורה ממעלוס השכליוס, ומצד מה שכללה במעלוס המידוס. When the Torah, when we refer to a chacham, we don't just mean someone who is brilliant, who has acquired a lot of knowledge. A chacham means someone who has two types of perfections. One is that they are a scholar, that they are a Talmud Chacham. They've acquired what could be acquired from Mimalos Hasichlios, intellectual achievements, but also Umitzad Ma Shekalala B'Malos Hamidos, what they have, the extent to which they've perfected themselves in terms of their Midos. So a Chacham is someone who has perfected themselves both in terms of wisdom as well as in terms of Midos. Then he writes, interestingly enough, that when you look in Chazal and in the Psukim, especially Psukim like Mishle, the Psukim frequently distinguish between Torah and Chachma. Torah meaning Asher B'Torah Mikubeles, meaning to say that which was received through tradition, what we generally call Torah, Bilti Mivuoros B'Darkei Ha'Iyon, and then Chachma, which is a reference to HaChachma Gemura Min Acher HaChachma Hahi HaGemura Asher Hizbar Ba B'Mofes, philosophy, that which could be proven rationally using philosophy and the like. The Rambam writes, though, that in reality Torah and Chachma are not two different realms. It's not that there's Torah and then there's philosophy or science, and these are two separate things, both of which we should study, but rather they are one thing. The truth of the matter is that Torah is much broader. Torah is understanding the truth. It's understanding the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we understand the Ribbono Shel Olam both through the Torah that we received in tradition and also through the Torah which we understand using our intellect. As we mentioned before, philosophy and science and the like were always part of Torah. It's just that over the course of the exile, some of it was forgotten, and therefore we have to recreate it or look back to secular and non-Jewish sources. But the reality is, it's all part of Torah, like he says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and we mentioned earlier. So there isn't these two realms. It's all one. It's all Chachmas Hashem. Likewise, when we refer to science, science doesn't just mean the biology and physics, what you would study in college. I remember hearing from Rav Stav, if that were the case, so then it wouldn't be such a great secret that you can't teach everyone except for those who have reached a very high level. Rather, it means the ways that one can experience and understand and appreciate the Ribbono Shel Olam through the physical world. In other words, what he calls Maaseh Bereishis is understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the physical world. What he calls Maaseh Merkava is understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that which is philosophy and metaphysics.
I guess this would apply to music and the arts as well.
Well, the Rambam has what to say about music and the arts. He's not such a fan. But that's a different issue. The Rambam then continues here in Mor Nevuchim, and he writes that there are four levels of perfection which a person can acquire. The first kind, the lowest level of acquisition, is perfection with regards to property, money, garments, etc. This, of course, is the lowest level of perfection because there's no true connection between the possession and the possessor. It's entirely imaginary, right? A person can become very wealthy and in a moment lose it all. When a person dies, they don't take their wealth on to eternity. Doesn't stick with them. So it doesn't reflect a true connection. This is the lowest level of perfection. The second type of perfection is a little more closely related to man's body than the first, and it refers to perfection of the shape, constitution, the form of man's body, the evenness of his temper, and the like. But this, too, is not a true perfection. It could be lost and doesn't continue eternally. The third type of perfection is even higher. It is the perfection more closely connected with the person himself, and it includes moral perfection, the highest degree of excellency in man's character. And then he writes a very important idea. He writes that Rov HaMitzvos Einam Rak L'Hagia El HaMin HaZem Min HaShleimus. In other words, the majority of mitzvos relate to this type of perfection, namely, both on an individual level and on a societal level, to bring a person to moral perfection. As you've mentioned before, just like the Rambam says, doing acts of kindness make a person kind. So most of the mitzvos relate to this type of perfection, to cause a person to achieve a moral perfection. The fourth type of perfection is the true perfection of man, the possession of the highest intellectual faculties, the possession of such notions which lead to true metaphysical opinions as regards to God. With this perfection, man has obtained his final object. It gives him true human perfection. It remains to him alone. It gives him immortality. This is very important. He writes again, Vihi lo levado, uva'avura yizkeh l'kayamus hanitzchi. Through this fourth type of perfection, intellectual perfection, true understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam, yedias Hashem, so that is the means by which a person achieves nitzchias. Now here too, at first, he seems to be highlighting the notion that we saw before, that nitzchias is largely dependent upon the acquired intellect. However, before then. Then the Rambam shows how this idea that this is the highest level of perfection can be seen both in Psukim and in Chazal. In Psukim, he quotes a number of Psukim. One of them is the famous Yirmiyahu Perek Tes, Ko Amar Hashem, Al Yisalel Chacham B'Chachmaso, Val Yisalel HaGibor B'Gvuraso, Val Yisalel HaAshir B'Ashro, Ki Im B'Zos Yisalel HaMisalel HaSkel V'Yadoa Osi. So the Rambam writes that this Pasuk refers to four levels of perfection. Chacham b'chachmaso, gibor b'gvuraso, ashir b'ashro. So ashir b'ashro is the lowest level, material possession. Gibor b'gvuraso is the second level of perfection, of physical perfection. The third level is chacham b'chachmaso, which he understands here as referring to chachmas amidos. And what is the highest level? The fourth level, kiim bizos yishalel amishalel haskel v'yadua osi. Haskel v'yadua osi is yidias Hashem, the highest level of perfection. The Rambam then says that Chazal say this. He quotes a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Noach, Parshas Lamed Hey, where the Medrash says, Kasav Achad Omer v'chol chafatzim lo yishvu ba, v'kasav Achad Omer v'chol chafatzecha lo yishvu ba, chafetzim elu mitzvos umaisim tovim. So when the Pasuk says, chol chafetzim lo yishvu ba, all the chafetzim are not comparable to it, that means mitzvos and maisim tovim. When the Pasuk says, Chafatzecha elu avanim tovim umurgalios, that refers to the acquisition of material things. So the Pasuk says, Rabbi Tanchon, B'shem Rabbi Ach, B'shem Tanchon, Omer, Chafatzai v'chafatzecha, so both Torah and mitzvos, as well as physical possessions, lo yishvu la, kiim bezos yishalel amishalel haskel v'yadoa osi. So we see the Medrash says that nothing is comparable to Yedias Hashem, even Torah mitzvos. If the Rambam were to stop here, then it would appear that the Rambam holds that really there is nothing else that compares to Yedias Hashem, Chochma, and Torah. However, the Rambam continues. And the Rambam notes that the problem with this interpretation is that it stops in the middle of the Pasuk. We forgot to read the end of the Pasuk. The end of the Pasuk says, Ki im bizos yishalel hamishalel, haskel v'yadawa osi, ki ani Hashem osa chesed mishpat utstaka ba'aretz, ki va'ela chafatzti, ne'um Hashem. Meaning to say, I, God, desire chesed mishpat utstaka. And the Rambam therefore writes, V'achar shezacharnu zeh ha-pasuk ma shekolo min anyanim ha-niflayim v'zacharnu divrei ha-chachamim zal elav nashlim kol ma shehu kolel v'zeh shelo hispik lo b'zeh ha-pasuk levayer shehasagaso yisborach levad hi ha-nechbedes shebishleimuyos. Don't think that simply acquiring an understanding of God is the greatest type of shleimus. Kilu haisa zos kavanaso haya omer ki im bizos yisalel hamisalel haskel v'yodia osi v'ya posik dvar. The pasuk should have stopped after haskel v'yadoa osi. Oh, haya omer haskel v'yadoa osi ken yachad. But the pasuk doesn't do that. Uvir lanu b'zeh pasuk shapu'ulos haheim shera'ui shiyod'u v'yasu bahem hem chesed mishpat utstaka. That is the goal. And he continues. And with this he concludes the Sefer. Imkein ha-kavana asher zachra b'zeh ha-pasuk hu bi'uro sheshleimus ha-adam asher bo yishalel be'emes. The ultimate perfection about which a person is truly praised for hu lahagia el hasagas Hashem kefi ha-yecholes, to understand God to the extent of his ability. The ladas hashkacha so bibruav bihamtzio osam bihanhigo osam, and to understand God's hashkacha in the world, namely the way in which he leads them and directs them, echi vilaleches acharei hahasagah hi, and then to use that knowledge bidrachim sheyiskavein bahem tamid lasos chesed umishpat utstaka lihidamos bepeulos Hashem, to be mekayim the halachta bedrachav, to do acts of tztaka umishpat Kemo shebi'arnu pamim b'zeh ha'mamar, as we've explained frequently in this work of Mor Nevuchim. And then he concludes, this is what we wish to say, tam v'nishlam, to the Borei Yisbarach. So, shavach l'Borei Yisbarach. So that is the Rambam. The Rambam certainly does not hold, as many, many, many have claimed, that the true and ultimate perfection is exclusively intellectual and knowledge of God and the like. The Rambam says that that knowledge of God, those intellectual pursuits must be used to then carry out chesed mishpat utzdaka. Someone whose intellectual pursuits do not lead to perfection of the character, acts of tzedakah, chesed, umishpat, etc., has acquired very little value, even if he's achieved tremendous accomplishments intellectually. This idea is seen many, many times throughout the writings of the Rambam. It's not just here. Again, in your source sheets, you'll see a number of them. I'll just mention one or two additional sources. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael lefika chir b'lam toru mitzvos." The Rambam writes in the Perusha Mishnayos in Maseches Makos, what does it mean when it says lefika chir b'lam toru mitzvos? In what way is the riboy toru mitzvos, having so many mitzvos, a zuchus for Klal Yisrael? Says the Rambam, Lachain Amar Rabbi Chanina ki machmas ribuy mitzvos I efshar shelo yase adam achas bechol yemei chayev bishleimuso. Because there are so many mitzvos, inevitably everybody will at least perform one mitzvah perfectly. Meaning to say, of course, everybody has to do all the mitzvos, but naturally people are different, and a person should aim to specialize in a certain sense, to perform one mitzvah in its ideal 100% lishma, perfect way. And that is natural, because different people are different, they have different predilections, they have different talents, and therefore they will be able to perfect themselves with different mitzvos. And that's the zikoy. Why? Because if you do one mitzvah perfectly, v'yizkeh l'hasharus ha-nefesh ba'osu ha-mais, a person achieves eternity, olam haba, through that one mitzvah. In other words, every Jew could do one mitzvah perfectly and thereby get olam haba. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva Perek Tes, despite the focus on intellectual achievements that he mentioned in Perek Ches, writes, always focusing on Maisim as well. V'chol ha'ose kol mashek kasev ba, v'yod udeya gemura nechona, so then zoche l'chayel haba. If you do Maisim tovim, as well as chachma, you'll get olam haba. And he writes, ulefi godel ma'asa v'godel chachmaso hu zoche. A person gets olam haba to the extent of the greatness of their Maisim and the greatness of their chachma. Shim lo yikne heina chachmo maisim tovim ein lo bamei yizkeh. And likewise, if you have not done chachmo maisim tovim, you won't get olam haba. Again and again, the Rambam focuses and stresses that there's a value and a purpose in terms of maisim tovim and mitzvos with respect to olam haba, and he doesn't focus entirely on the intellectual. To sum this up, the Rambam writes apparently the clock is wrong, so we have to
sum it up.
The Rambam here, again, he focuses on Maisim Tovim as well as the intellectual pursuits. Now, there have been many, and maybe next time we'll begin with this, who have critiqued the Rambam, the Maral, the Ramban, other sources, for focusing too much on the intellect and intellectual pursuits at the expense of Torah and Mitzvos. In light of what we've seen, we have to question whether that is the correct understanding of the Rambam. And this also brings us back to the question that we started with, which is, what is Olam Haba? Is Olam Haba something which involves a physical existence or does not? So Be'ezras Hashem, we'll begin with that next week, and if anyone has questions, we'll take them afterwards. Have okay. a wonderful Shabbos.
Have a wonderful Shabbos. I need you guys during the break. I don't need to use the restroom or anything like that. We're going to do something this morning for 10 minutes, and then we're going to take a 5-minute break.